When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
What a week we have got in front of us on this program. It is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, on the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaugh. Joseph, welcome to Monday.
Welcome to Monday, indeed. Shout out to all of our friends in the great state of Colorado who are at war over the release of the new Denver Bronco uniforms for this season. We're at it again. I mean, it was the Jets last week. It's the Broncos this week. There's nothing like a good old Twitter beef over the release of new uniforms, which we will not care about 7 minutes after the news comes down.
Teams focusing on the important things as the NFL draft approaches this week, Joe. And dear God, we have so much to discuss regarding that. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. We begin with the NBA playoffs over the weekend, and we begin with two teams rolling without their superstar. Number one, how about the Bucks? Now, there was a reason that the Bucks wanted to play Indiana as opposed to playing the Sixers in round one, because when you face them without Giannis, you have a much better opportunity to win, especially when Dame goes for 35. And frankly, a little bit surprised that Milwaukee was able to roll them in game one.
Well, go inside the box score. It's not too surprising because Indiana couldn't hit a shot to save its life. Like, they were abysmal offensively, which this may surprise some people.
You'd have to be against that Bucks defense.
this might surprise some people. If you don't shoot well, turns out you're not going to win many games in the NBA postseason. Indiana was 39% from the field. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. In the regular season, they made half the baskets they attempted from the field. Half the baskets they attempted, they made. 50%, that was number one in the NBA. That dropped by 11%. Similar situation with their three-point shooting. 37% during the regular season, 21% against the Bucks. It's not rocket science. You don't hit your shots, you're not going to win. Indiana was putrid in game one against the Bucks.
Lillard's 35 all came in the first half, which was a little bit bizarre. But then at the same time, you're doing this without Giannis, and they don't have any clarification on the timeline or anything like that. Doc Rivers gave us nothing, as he does in many different facets. No clarity on when that's going to happen, on when he's going to be available to them. But based off of what we saw yesterday, you can't continue to expect the Pacers to shoot this poorly, and especially against a team that defensively is, to put it kindly, challenged.
No, Pacers are going to be a great bet in game two. This is the old zigzag theory that gamblers have been deploying during the playoffs for years. Go the opposite of what you saw in the previous game if there's reason to believe that an outlier situation occurred. In the case of Indiana, it did. It shot well below its season averages, well below. So against that defense, to your point, they should have more success. I wouldn't sit here and say, oh my God, Dame could carry Milwaukee. It was a nice performance from Lillard. It was a great performance from the Bucks. They shut people up for a few minutes. Indiana, clean it up, for crying out loud. That was a disaster of a performance, but that one's a long way from being over right now. In fact, they've readjusted the series prices. Indiana finds itself as a decent dog right now. If you believed in them before game one, I don't know why you would jump ship after just 48 minutes on the road, where, by the way, home teams went 8-0 over the weekend. So, you know, patience here. Let's not overreact to 48 minutes of basketball.
One of those other home teams was the Clippers with James Harden. James Harden putting up 28 with no Kawhi Leonard. Now, I don't know when Kawhi is coming back, but it doesn't make me feel like it's imminent right now, the way things are. And when I look at the Clippers and what they did, they completely dismantled the Dallas Mavericks. But even when Luka gets 33, if you can make him do that on 26 shots, it's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, ultimately, it was the same thing for Dallas that it was for Indiana. It was an awful shooting night. It's a team that shoots 48% from the field. That dropped by 10% in that game to 38%. They shot about 37% from three-point range. That's down 7%. This is all very nerdy. People don't want to drive around and listen to numbers all day. But if you're looking for the whole, what happened? I can't believe Dallas couldn't get past the Clippers. Well, if a team's going to knock down 50% of its three-point shots and the other team's going to score 8 points in the second quarter, yeah, you're going to have a good chance of winning that game. Now, if you believed in Dallas before this series, you probably should believe in him again. It shouldn't surprise anyone that James Harden is capable of a solid performance in the playoffs.
No, it shouldn't. And frankly, I mean, those aren't analytics. Those are just dumb numbers.
Yeah.
And when you can look at that and look at the Mavericks in game two, to your point, it would seem to be a bet that would be worth making.
The concern, real quick on that. The concern would be Jason Kidd seems in over his head as a head coach. And there was a lot of talk about that in the wake of how that game was being played. How he was deploying his assets, who was covering who in that game. He got outworked by Ty Lue. And this is not the first time Kidd and his team have gone into the opening round of the playoffs and been thoroughly outcoached. They missed a lot of shots, yes. But keep your eyes on Jason Kidd moving forward, because at some point, he's going to have to prove that he's capable of going toe-to-toe in the strategic department with the opposing coach if they're going to go anywhere. You can only carry the star talent so far in the Western Conference before you run into a team with star talent and good coaching.
Well, all of this leads us to tonight. Because the Sixers in game one lose to the Knicks, and Joel Embiid banged up his knee even worse. First of all, here's Nick Nurse, the Sixers head coach, on the prognosis and his status moving forward here.
No, I mean, he's just like we do after every game. Obviously, he got assessed at halftime and he was able to go, but just like after every game, we'll assess him and see how he's doing.
Officially listed as questionable for tonight, by the way, so is Tyrese Maxey with an illness. So that's obviously not great for the Sixers in that combination. Now, as he went 0-for-5 in the fourth quarter, I have to give the Knicks credit with how well they played at home to get that victory the other day when you had a susceptible Sixers team. If the Knicks are going to win this series, it cannot, and this is an obvious one, cannot be about blown opportunities. But too many times with teams like this, it is about blown opportunities.
Now you take what you get. Josh Hart had a big night, very rare, 4 of 9 from three-point range. He doesn't hit 4 three-pointers in many games at all. But you're going to need guys to step up big when you're in situations where guys like Jalen Brunson are getting a ton of looks. And Brunson's going to continue to get a ton of looks with Embiid dropping. Like, when he does that defensively, that opens up the world for Jalen Brunson. He just wasn't connecting on his baskets. But ultimately, the Knicks played 48 hard minutes. The Joel Embiid issue, that's the storyline of this entire series. With Embiid on the court in game one, the Sixers outscored the Knicks by 14 points. Hammered him with Joel Embiid. Without Joel Embiid on the court, got outscored by 21 points. Embarrassing. That's who the Sixers are. They can only go so far as Joel Embiid's knee is willing to carry them. And by the way, what an all-time emotional roller coaster of a play that injured him. It's the self-alley-oop in a crucial moment when the game was tight and everyone's going nuts. And before you can even truly process what you just watched, he hits the floor holding his knee, writhing in pain. So you got the whole spectrum of Philadelphia emotion there in about a 6-second window.
The plus minus thing is big, but just you can really break it down as simple as possible when it comes to the Sixers. They're 32-9 with him on the court. And when he's not, they are much worse. And that's because he's an amazing player. And I do wonder, though, tonight, the level of effectiveness he can have if he does go. Because I think we would all agree that Embiid, in the worst way, wants to be out there and wants to play and is not a guy that's afraid to play when he's not 100%. My issue is, how effective is he going to be when the Knicks are going to try to run him up and down the court?
If you're the Knicks, what you want to do, this is going to sound out there, so pace yourself, but you're going to want to win this game. You're going to want to win this game because a 2-0 series lead going back to Philly with Embiid hurt is going to get everybody talking about whether or not the Sixers are just going to pack it in. Maxey's sick now. Joel Embiid's playing with an injured knee. This just isn't the year. It's an easy narrative to get behind if you're Philadelphia. Hey, it's just not our year. We dealt with some injuries. We ran into a tough team. The Knicks have the ability to make short work of the Sixers, but you can't let them hang around early. They took care of business in game one. Take care of business tonight. And if you do as a 5.5-point favorite tonight, you go to Philly needing to win just one game. You can come back to the Garden, close it out in five, and get yourself rest. Because I got to tell you something. I know you're not supposed to overlook anyone. You're not supposed to look past anyone. You got to handle your business night in and night out. But you also got to realize Boston's going to be pretty well rested. And they are an absolute freight train right now. So if you want any chance of beating them, you can't be playing 6-7 game series in the buildup to your series with the Celtics.
Well, I mean, based on the Knicks fans I heard outside the Garden the other night, they do want Boston.
What were they doing? Were they chanting that?
They were chanting. It was rioting in the streets after game one.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Outside Madison Square Garden. I understand these people are starved, but geez, oh my God, relax. Carlin versus Joe, we're just getting rolling on ESPN Radio. There's so much going on today, it's not even funny. All the playoffs, the draft
day
stuff.
Day betting alert.
We got day betting coming up with the Yankees and our Oakland Athletics.
Nice three-game sweep over the weekend for the A's, not helping anybody out here.
Well, today we get back on the horse.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that one. I haven't even looked. I'd have to imagine the Yanks are sizable favorites for today's.
The Yankees are -810 in this game.
I'll get that. -8. Part of me was like, maybe. Yeah, casual -240 here today.
I said it, and you kind of put your head down into the paper like, really?
I was like, I feel like I would have heard that because it would be
heavy.
An all-time record, but still.
It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, just getting started today. More on the NBA in just moments. Is the NBA's best team completely focused on all the wrong things? We'll explain, and I can't wait to find out because I have no idea. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Little double dipper NBA edition coming your way. We're going to play the Nuggets -7.5 over the Lakers. We're also going to play the Nuggets in the first half -4.5 over the Lakers. Nice try in game one. Pretty admirable. But think of it like this. The Lakers went out there with a ton of rest. They emptied the clip against Denver. They held the Nuggets to 46% shooting. That's down 3 percentage points from their regular season average. They held them to 35% from deep. That's down 3 percentage points from their regular season average. They held them to just 6 free throw attempts, which is their fewest in 83 games played this year, and they still lost by 11 points. What's going to happen if Denver shoots better? What's going to happen if the Lakers look tired? What's going to happen if the Lakers don't jump all over them in the first half like they did in the last game? Could get really ugly. That's why we're making two bets on the Nuggets tonight. Nuggets -7.5 for the game. Nuggets -4.5 for the first half.
Boston behind a franchise postseason record tying 22 threes. Take the opener. Boston 114 and Miami 94.
Understanding the big picture, it just gives me more motivation and more drive to have a great playoff run.
It's supposed to be tough. This is the playoffs. It's a good team. We're not supposed to blow them out. It's not supposed to be easy. No lead is necessarily safe. And, don't panic in the sense when they go on a run and hit shots. Just continue to play the right way.
Celtics were a check-in game. That's what that was. I'll pop in every once in a bit. I'll be honest with you. And I didn't watch a ton until later in the game. But I did catch the very end of the game as the Heat, I don't think purposely, but certainly weren't trying to hurt anybody. But there was a little tinge of something behind Caleb Martin's bump. And I'm being kind when I call it a bump into Jason Tatum. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Was it dirty?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I can understand why everyone's saying that today. And we just showed the highlight. And we start that highlight a little late. Start the highlight from earlier on. When you see Tatum making his run in and watch Martin. Martin begins his trajectory towards the basket around the same time Tatum does. But to watch it in its totality, there's no way he could have been just scouting Tatum and then said, all right, he's gonna go for this basket. He's going to jump up and I'm going to have a chance to put a body on him. Here it is right now. You can't see Tatum in the picture. That does not look to me like it was intentional.
I think it was a physical play.
Sure.
Intentionally. I think he was going after the ball for sure, but he got a little chance to lower the shoulder there too. And it didn't necessarily bother him that it was going to be physical. And you notice that Tatum was trying to send a little message of his own of popping right back up. Now, keep in mind, this all came about 30 seconds after a video review late in the game with, if I'm not mistaken, about a minute left prior to this. And Brian Scalabrine on the Celtics postgame up in Boston suggested that maybe it's not such a coincidence that happened after a timeout where everybody's getting a chance to talk to one another and Spoelstra's talking to his team, and maybe he ordered, as Scalabrine put it, the code red.
If I'm on the Celtics side of the equation, I would be fired up like he is. I completely understand that position. I just think to myself, we're talking about Eric Spoelstra here. It doesn't strike me as the type of guy in that situation in a 7-game series who's going to do something like that. That doesn't really seem like Heat culture now, does it?
No. I mean, physical basketball
sure.
is Heat culture.
Yeah, code red.
But, code red. And Scalabrine kind of clarified today. He's like, code red doesn't mean go out and hurt somebody. Code red is kind of to remind them that this series is not over and it's going to be a physical series and you're going to have to deal with it. Let's hear from Tatum on the play and everything that he thought in the moment.
I feel fine. I mean, I didn't see it. I went to go get the rebound, got knocked out there, fell, and I got right up and we go shoot some free throws.
I mean, what went into just stepping right back up and then kind of strutting to the free throw line?
Just understanding it's playoff basketball, right? It's a physical game, playing against a physical team. It's going to happen. It's not the last time I'm probably going to get hit like that or fouled in this series.
Great follow-up there. Maybe we go with, you think it was intentional, instead of strutting to the free throw line? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, Look, let's face facts. Boston is plus 120 to win the championship right now. Plus 120. They're almost odds on, all right? Now, at the same time, they're minus 250 to win the Eastern Conference. Tatum handled this perfectly. The Celtics are handling this perfectly. Go full stoicism right here. Full stoic. You don't need to worry about anything that's happening anywhere else. You have a mission. You have 16 games you need to win, and after what happened over the weekend, you've got 15 more to go. 3 more to get past the Heat. You don't need to worry about any of these antics. You don't need to address them. You don't have to get into the weeds as to whether or not it was intentional. Just keep doing you. It worked very well in game one. The path is set. It's relatively clear. You couldn't ask for anything better. The Celtics do not need to get bogged down with any of this crap.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point. This stuff does not concern you. In other words, everybody is going to try to knock you off your game in one way or another. And for the Celtics to get a championship, which is clearly what the expectation is, you cannot be sidetracked by any superfluous garbage. You cannot allow yourself to happen. You cannot allow that to happen to yourself. Now, off of the weekend, when we're talking about game ones here, whether it's the Bucks going and winning without Giannis, whether it's the Knicks beating the Sixers in game one, none of it changed for me about the Celtics. I still don't know that they're the only team I think that could have beaten the Celtics in the East would be the Sixers, and that was operating under the assumption that Embiid is going to be healthy, and I can't operate under that assumption right now.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can beat him. At four games, I think maybe I set the over-under at four and a half losses because I figure a couple gentlemen sweeps, and then you have a scenario where maybe you go six in the conference finals.
To be clear, this is all through just the conference and not the finals finals.
Right, we are just talking about the East. And yep. I if you set it at 4.5, I'd probably bet the under because I feel like you're going to get at least one sweep in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Like, who do they get after this? Do they get the winner of the Cleveland-Orlando matchup?
They could get the Knicks next, couldn't they? Actually, no, they would get the winner of the Cleveland-Orlando matchup. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's sweating that in Boston. Orlando can't score, and that's not new, and Cleveland is soft. Cleveland went out of their way to dodge whatever they needed to dodge to set up a better playoff matchup. So congratulations, you'll hammer Orlando, but you're not going to win against the big boys. Like, I would imagine Boston should be 8-2, worst-case scenario, going into the conference final. Wow. 8-2, worst case. I do not see them losing three games over the opening two series.
Are they going to win? Are they going to lose a game in this series?
They shouldn't. Like, maybe you go back. I mean, what's going to happen? Well, Butler's out. No, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is a sweep.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to mess around with the Heat here. They understand the Heat can be dangerous. The Heat have given them problems in the past. This is a little revenge spot here. It's an opportunity to kind of stick it to Miami when they're down a little bit. Maybe Miami gets one, but That would be it. This isn't going six.
If I'm the Celtics, I would, after what happened last year and after I got embarrassed on my home court in a game seven by that team, I'm going to shove Heat culture right down your throat.
Yeah. You know? Get out. Like, there's no reason to screw around with this stuff. You got big picture things. The more you're on the court, the more you risk injury. The more you risk wearing down. We make it sound cavalier, very easy to go out there and just sweep a team, but you can't have off nights. Now is not the time to have off nights. The beautiful thing for the Celtics is that over the last month of the season, they had almost nothing to play for. They had every opportunity to rest physically, but more important, mentally. They didn't have to get caught up in the day-to-day minutiae. They didn't have to get caught up in the crazy travel spots. They didn't have to worry about anything. They just went ahead and recharged. And now is when you get to empty the clip. You're here. It's time to go full throttle. And they showed that in game one. Like, Carlin, they had been off for what, a week?
Yeah.
They came right out knocking down every single shot. They made it look easy.
Yeah. They didn't hesitate at all to really step on the neck. And that's what they should do in this series. I would say, I mean, and maybe I'm being a little overly complimentary of them, I will be stunned if in the first two series they lose more than one game. Stunned. Yeah, to me, that means that they played really poorly in a game if they're going to lose more than one game in the first two rounds of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah, you can definitely have the off shooting night. We saw it with Indiana. Yeah. We saw it with Dallas. Those nights happen. Those nights are absolutely going to happen. You're just not going to knock down your shots. Look at Denver in the first half. They were a great live bet for the second half.
Yep.
A great live bet because they couldn't hit a three to save their life, but they were getting open looks everywhere. And by the way, I know we'll get into it later, Jamal Murray looks fantastic. The guy looks completely healthy. It's such a dangerous element for the Nuggets to have him looking as good as he looked in that matchup on Saturday.
Do you? I'll get to it later. I don't want to hold us up here, but yeah, it just the whole thing.
That's a first. That's a first right there.
I know. Look at me being responsible.
I don't want to extend this any further than I need to.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and in complimenting myself, I almost did. one NFL team that maybe just doesn't quite get how the draft works. That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
If I'm the Raiders, I pick up the phone and I call Elliot Wolf at the Patriots and see if I can make that deal right now with them and get to number three and then feel comfortable that my guy is going to be there one way or the other. Either the Commanders are going to go with Drake May or he's going to tell the Commanders to go with Drake May, right? I mean, I feel comfortable in my recruiting because I'm Antonio Pierce and I've already recruited the young man once.
That was our guy Q Myers filling in for you on Friday. And all hell kind of broke loose, frankly, for the last hour of the show. And Jaden Daniels was the reason why. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Why? Well, Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show talking about the number two pick with the Commanders and where it is all headed.
It's tracking towards Jaden Daniels, which it has been.
Okay.
The signs point to Jaden Daniels, which they do.
Okay.
And the Commanders are going through it after this week when, again, I think it's a situation where, from the outset, Jaden Daniels had an interest in being other places.
Mm.
He just has. Now the interest is, okay, what do the Commanders do about that? Do they, like, there have been plenty of players who have wanted to play elsewhere. And the teams don't care, and they just do what they do. Or if there's a team that wants him, i.e. a team that used to essentially have a coach that worked him in college, like then they have to trade for him. So what do they want to do?
He's talking about the Raiders, and he's talking about Antonio Pierce, Joe, who, of course, recruited Jaden Daniels to Arizona State before he transferred to LSU. So, yeah, all of a sudden, maybe the Commanders got a little problem on their hands. That's what we were talking about Friday, and that leads us to today and the number two pick overall.
Yeah, not a pleasant Friday. Should have been. Took the day off to close on a house because apparently in Connecticut, you got to jump through a whole bunch of hoops, go meet with lawyers, do all this stuff. Congratulations to everyone for getting into my pockets. You're all aces in my book.
Everybody got a piece.
Everybody got a piece. And it's amazing how on that day, everyone's on time. Everyone's on time. All emails are returned. Throughout the process, when you have questions and things need to get done, people might be a little bit more lackadaisical, but here comes payday.
Yep.
Everybody is razor sharp, and I was so proud to see it come together, complete with all the emails now. Hey, can you go on this website and rate our performance? Can you go here and rate our performance? Look, I got my own problems, okay? While all that's happening, I'm supposed to be celebrating. My wife's very excited. And I'm finding out that these prices are all over the place. They're adjusting. Why would I get upset? Well, I might be heavy on Jaden Daniels number two overall. I might be quite heavy. So I see this happening. I'm thinking I got a potential disaster on my hands. I reach out to everybody I know who bets this stuff, who's been doing it for the last two decades like I have. And we're trying to get to the root of it. And you dig through all this stuff, and eventually it comes back to the idea that the Commanders, for some reason, had like three quarterbacks in on the same day. And Daniels didn't get the FaceTime that he necessarily thought he would get, which, you know what, if he's a little perturbed at that, I get that. Like, Washington, that's not how you handle your business. If this guy's going to be the future of your franchise, treat him right. But instead, you bring everybody in on the same day because there's a rumor that maybe owner Josh Harris wanted to be involved in the process, and this might be the only day he could make it work. So they scheduled them all the same way. Whatever. It's Washington being Washington, making something more complicated than it needs to be, not understanding how to do their business. So then we got this. Go ahead.
No. I totally get where you're coming from. I actually didn't have a problem with it just from the standpoint of I'm about to pay somebody, and I bring all four of them in together. Let's see how they react.
Why?
I wouldn't have had a problem.
Why would you do that? You're not drafting all four of them. What are you doing? You've had months to figure this out. Months to figure this out. You're going to fly them all in the same day, and everyone's going to get, what, 90 minutes? That's how you conduct your business?
I want to see how they react to the fact that they're not the only ones here. And how they're going to handle a little bit of adversity in that kind of moment of dealing with that pressure. Oh, wait, it may not be a lock that it's me. That's all.
Okay, so let's go down that path because I think that's fair. Daniels clearly didn't handle it well, but now it still seems like they're going to draft him. So yeah. It didn't even matter then.
Yeah.
So apparently you saw the guy not handle it well and you're still going to take him. So
he was annoyed by it, but you know what? You can take that a few different ways too. Anyway,
yeah.
the point being is that here we are and we're still sitting at the point where it looks like they are still going to take him. Although he was on Nightcap, which is Shannon Sharpe and Ocho Cinco's podcast last night. You got to hear some of this.
Okay.
When he's talking about where this is all headed.
I don't know how they're going to pull it off. but I mean, that's above my pay grade, man. But
yeah, I wouldn't do it. I ain't trading. Man, why would I give AP up that future trade for much of the quarterback, Jay?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Man.
I ain't giving that up.
Mm-hmm. Hey man, just AP man, AP just as a human being, you know, he the right coach for that team, you know, just him and the intensity that it brings, you know, he challenged people. He challenged me at 18, so I know if I was to go to the Raiders, I'm not saying I'm gonna go there or I want to go there, you know, mm-hmm. I want to go wherever my name called, but if I was to go to Raiders, I know as soon as I step foot, he gonna challenge me. He don't care how high I was drafted, none of that, you know, he gonna challenge me every day.
So that was in reaction, I should have set this up better, to Chad Ochocinco saying that he had an epiphany that Jaden Daniels was going to go to the Raiders.
So apparently what ended up happening was that maybe, just maybe, Daniels was in there floating the idea, or his agent was floating the idea with Washington, that he might not want to go 2 overall because he wants to play for the Raiders, and that if the Raiders could figure that out, they could get up to 3, Commanders take Drake May or McCarthy, whoever it may be, and then Daniel slides a bit and the Raiders could end up drafting him. Adam Schefter has a great Nuggets piece that's up on ESPN.com right now in regards to the number 2 pick in the Commanders. It starts like this, quote, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Jaden Daniels knows he's entering the draft, not free agency, which is why he is ready to accept wherever he is selected and attempt to become the face of that franchise. That's pretty much everyone kind of realizing whatever you were trying to pull off, it's not going to work. So let's all stop looking like fools running around trying to manipulate this thing and let's handle it like a business, right? Like, he's going to be number 2. I understand he might want to play elsewhere. It's not how it works. It's a draft. It's not free agency. You're going to be compensated handsomely. This is how it works. For the Raiders, I find it interesting, all this thought that, like, Antonio Pierce, the head coach, is trying to get in his ear to try to get him to tell Washington he might not want to play there. Like, if that's true, I think that's a horrible look for Pierce.
Yeah.
He's the head coach of an NFL football team, all right? You don't need to get into a guy's ear to try to screw up his relationship with his new team so that he can maybe say, it's like, that's a kid. He needs to handle his business. You guys can give up a bounty to go to number 2 to get him. Give him 10 first-round picks. Washington will probably take it, but you don't want to do that. So stop messing with the kid. Handle your own business.
And see, this is not surprising if AP does this, because the one thing that has not really come out yet with Antonio Pierce, or you haven't seen since he's been a head coach, there is a degree of immaturity to him. I mean, he did get this whole situation kind of in trouble, so to speak, at Arizona State. And then if you're doing that, that's not going to go over well around the league. That's not going to go over well at all around the league. And you don't know where this ends up, right? This season for the Raiders could be an abject disaster. And then you see Mark Davis say, you know what? I made a huge mistake here. And the next thing you know, AP can't get a job. You know, like, it's just thinking bigger than this in the moment. And I think that's exactly what the agents for Daniels are doing here with Adam Schefter, by making sure it's clear. You know what? He's going to show up. Don't worry. He'll be there. He's going to be there. And the agents are also thinking about all of their future clients as well.
Yeah, damage control. Like, you had his PR person immediately put something out in the wake of all this saying, you know, he's happy to go wherever he gets drafted. He's ready to become the face of a franchise. Like, this got really messy when it didn't need to get messy. Nothing here needed to be messy. These are just meetings. That's all this is. But Pierce is making a lot of noise with the Raiders. It was a lot of good noise late in the season. They were competitive. They were winning games. The players rallied for him. Davis ends up hiring. He's got the job. But this isn't the noise you want to make. You don't want to be linked to some situation where you're trying to tell some kid. I don't know. How old is Daniels? 21? 22 years old?
He is 21.
You're trying to tell him to go into a meeting with the team that wants to draft him. You're trying to tell him, you don't want to play. Tell him you don't want to go there so that maybe you slide and then we can come up and get you. You don't want to be known for that. You don't want to do that. That's not the noise you want to make as the head coach of a franchise. If, in fact, that's what's happening here, I think it's a bad look for the Raiders.
Apologies, by the way. Daniels is 23. The younger quarterback is Drake May in all of this because, remember, Daniels has transferred around a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe he should even know a little bit better being a little bit older. It's Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Speaking of Drake May, there's been a lot of speculation that New England is the place where he is going to end up with the third pick. So what is all the smoke coming out of New England for right now? We'll explain after Joe has this from our friends at Vivid Seats.
Score the seats and memories this spring with Vivid Seats, your home for every buzzer beater, puck drop, and home run. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. And with a 100% buyer guarantee, Vivid Seats gives you the peace of mind for the ultimate fan experience. Celebrate your fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Let's go ahead and lay the 5 with Cleveland over Orlando. Normally, I'd look to take Orlando in this situation. Coming off an awful shooting night, you have some positive shooting regression, you bounce back a little bit. I'm not the least bit interested in backing them at all in this series. They are terrible against teams 500 or above. Their entire record and season has been based on beating up on bad teams. Cleveland wasn't even that good. In game one, they shot 44% from the field. That's down from their regular season average. They shot 26% from deep. That's 10% below their season average. They were -5 in turnover differential. And despite all that, they still won the game by 14 points. Orlando's moving in the right direction. They just don't have the offense. And they're going to be overwhelmed in this series. So I'll come back for seconds. Cleveland -5 over Orlando. Pizza money number 3.
Breaking news.
Okay, that's just from Adam Schefter moments ago, reporting on Instagram. Falcons are expected to receive punishment, including draft picks, for involvement in alleged tampering. So, not really breaking news, but, you know, kind of breaking news, so to speak.
I mean, they're all doing it, right? Like, I guess they just have proof.
They are.
They just have proof here.
Yeah, some just look proof. More obvious than others.
Yeah. All right. I mean, this is all like the dog and pony show here. I don't think anyone was really clamoring that people had to go after Atlanta. And I highly doubt there's any team that's looking at this thinking, oh, we got to bring down the hammer on these guys. Can't have this going on in the NFL.
You know, I'd love to see something that is not a proportional response. I want to see somebody wildly overreact and take away their first round pick.
Yeah. Just like kick him out of the league for a year. You know
exactly.
What? We've got to send a message. The Falcons, they are out of the NFL for the upcoming season. NFC South will be just three teams. Anyone who had the Falcons on the schedule, that's an automatic win. Arthur Blank, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yep. Now
it's like, this is for just tampering with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. That's it? Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. So we were just spending time talking about the second pick with the Commanders. Then there's the third pick with the Patriots. Now, Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN NFL Nation, wrote that the most likely scenario, according to sources, remains that the Patriots stay put at number three and select Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy. As one source said late last week, you can't win without a quarterback. Look, I'm not going to be surprised at all.
Do we want to dig down on that a little bit? The whole You can't win without a quarterback? Do we need to react to that?
Do we?
No. It's like, just go back through that quote.
You know what? Cancel the rest of the show.
They're going to stay at three and draft either Daniels, May, or McCarthy because, you know, you can't win without a quarterback. It's like, all right.
You know, I will say I get the feeling that even though Elliot Wolf is out there last week saying we're open for business, that's just more to see what actually is available and a curiosity because let's just say you're the Vikings, for instance, okay? And you're trying to get all the way up to number three. Like, that's not just draft picks. That's from every indication, that is you're going to give up a major player a la Darisaw or Justin Jefferson if you're trying to move up that far.
I mean, yeah, if you're New England, it makes some sense, right?
Yeah.
But you're still going to need a quarterback. Like, when it comes to...
Wait, do we want to drill down on that some more?
Yeah. There are a handful of teams, Minnesota's one of them, New England's one of them, where if you come out of the first round and you don't have a QB, you got to start scratching your head asking, what's the plan here? Like, especially in Minnesota's case. In New England's case, I don't know, maybe there might be this idea of trading back and then trying to grab a Penix or a Nix at some point. I don't know if that's the future for them. I've also heard some rumors from some guys I know in Vegas who have made these bets. It's not saying it happens, but the value's there, that they could stick at three and not take a quarterback, meaning they could stay at three and make Marvin Harrison or maybe even Joe Alt the pick. Joe Alt's like 75-1 to go there. Harrison's a real tasty play. So I think they might just see value in that option. Not saying it happens, but they just might think the pricing's off and it's worth a shot.
Here's the thing. Like, you just said it about the Vikings, and this is what would scare the daylights out of me. If I'm down to the fourth choice, I better love the guy. And as somebody said to me last week, we're speaking about McCarthy here specifically. If somebody said to me last week, if you are going to draft him, you had better know something that nobody else does. You had better feel that confident in it. So if you're the Vikings and you're operating under that very statement, I can't leave this first round without a quarterback. But it's a quarterback that I'm not in love with? Can't I leave the first round without one?
Well, absolutely. You see, this is how people get fired. They draft quarterbacks because they
need
quarterbacks.
I don't want to see desperation here. Yeah.
Yeah, they draft quarterbacks. Like that's what happened in Atlanta. They were sitting there going, we kind of need a quarterback. Desmond Ridder's available. That might work. And then you get into the situation where, you have him, and then you have to play him. And not only do you have to play him, you have to give him enough time so you can kind of understand whether or not he has it or he doesn't have it. And then it continues to go south. And then before you know it, it's like, this guy doesn't have it. We don't want him on the roster. The people responsible for him, you guys are out and we're rebooting this whole thing. Like, that's an extremely dangerous situation to get into, to take a quarterback just for the sake of taking a quarterback. Because at some point, if he's a first or second round pick, you got to play him. Like, you got to play those guys. Those guys are viewed as the future. I remember in Philly when the Eagles shocked everyone with the Kevin Cobb selection. It was so shocking because it was a second-round pick. Like, you don't draft a guy, a quarterback in the second round because he's going to be a career backup. You draft him there because you think he's going to be the future of the franchise. So if you're New England and you're coming away with a QB, as the owner Bob Kraft has been intimating all this time that he wants one, I don't know if you're really going to be screwing around at three. You can do exactly what you're saying. Throw it out there that you're open for business. Maybe you get a wild series of trade proposals that's worth it, and you slide back and you get Penix or whatever it may be, but ultimately get your QB and let's get moving in the right direction here.
Day betting alert.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, yes.
Day betting alert.
We have it coming up in just moments. Yankees A's, Handman couldn't deliver the other day on Friday, so we turn it over to you with today's day betting alert.
Okay, very excited for this. One thing I've noticed. Hey, man, what did you take on Friday? Just style of bet. I don't need to know.
First inning
first
under.
First inning, because it was a 220 first pitch.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so
that's what we're doing
resolution.
Here. We're going -115, no run in the first inning. I applaud the fact that you guys have had all these five-inning bets lately and all that stuff. It's been great. It's been a fun sweat. I don't have all day. I want to get in. I want to get out. Let's get this thing started. I want the first inning wager back in my life. I'm going no run first inning. I'm going to play that theory we've had. These like Monday afternoon games where people are like, they don't care. They're coming off the weekend. I have a feeling we'll get through the A side at the top. The key is whether or not the A's can shut down the Yanks.
Why does it feel like we're going to do a little bit of chasing before Thursday, just in case, before Jaden Daniels at the second pick?
Let me tell you something.
Especially a couple of days after you close on a new house.
If Daniels goes second overall and somehow Byron Murphy's the first defensive player off the board, we're all going out to dinner I was going to say the big guy, but I'm not the big guy. On the little guy.
And if they don't?
I mean, I extend my retirement plans by about 15 years.
Good. I'm not ready yet.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.